Parshas V'zos HaBracha. The Torah Shebal Peh learns out a lot of halachas from the Lushainas in V'zos HaBracha. And one can ask a question, if this is the blessing that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to Bnei Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu is not the one to institute halachas. The Rabban Shalom is the one who has to give halachas. How can we learn a dinim from the Lushan that Moshe Rabbeinu used? So I think the answer is, before we even begin to discuss these halachas, the answer is the Gemara discusses the discrepancy between the text of the Aseres HaDibros as it appears in Parshas Yisro and as it appears in Parshas Vayeschanan. How come in Yisro it says Zochar Shem Shabbos Lekatshei and Vayeschanan it says Shamar? So the Gemara says Zochar B'Shamar B'Dibra Echenemru. So the Ibn Ezra, in his commentary on Parshas Yisro, is bothered with a question. That's not the only discrepancy between the two versions of the Aseres HaDibros Zochar V'Shamar. There are quite a few additional discrepancies. So why does the Gemara only work on Zochar V'Shamar? What about the other discrepancies? So the Ramban, in his commentary on Parshas Yisro, Al HaTorah, explains that a very interesting issue, whenever the Chumash quotes what somebody said, it's not necessarily a verbatim quotation. The Chumash is telling us the gist of what he said. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictates to Moshe Rabbeinu the Chumash word for word, letter for letter. That's what the Gemara will sometimes learn out dinim from a phrase, from an extra letter, from a missing letter in the Chumash. Because our tradition has it, we believe that the Chumash was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word, letter for letter. So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, quote that, write down that Paro said this. Paro didn't necessarily say that word for word, the way it says. That's the gist of what Paro said. Or Lavan, the Chumash is going to quote, Lavan says to Yaakov Avinu, Malish Vazois, Vinitin Lachogam Azois. So some Amoraim learned that from that Pasuk, Adin, Eimar and Simcha B'Simcha. If you're celebrating Shivazimah Mishta for wife number one, whom he had just married 2-3 days ago, you're not allowed to marry wife number two in the middle of the Shivazimah Mishta of wife number one. That's a violation of Eimar and Simcha B'Simcha. Pardon me, we're learning our dinim from Lavan. Who was Lavan? Dinim. I learned that when the Rabbanu Shalom says a din. Why should I learn that from Lavan? The answer is, that's not what Lavan said. Lavan said whatever he said. The Chumash is giving you the gist of what he said, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, write in the Chumash that Lavan said, Malish was us, Nit Lucholam is us. It's not a lie, but it's not that's not necessarily the Lashon that he said. So that's what the Ramban answers. The other discrepancy, we don't know what was actually the text of the Aseres HaDibros. It could be that it was neither text A nor text B. It was neither the text that appears in Parshas Yisro nor the text that appears in Parshas Vayeschanan. The Chumash is just telling us the gist of what it said. But here there's a problem, there's a contradiction between Zochar v'Shamar. What was the gist of the mitzvah? Zochar is a mitzvah tasei, and Shamar is a mitzvah loisei. So the Gemara says, whenever we have the expression Yishama, Pen, or Al, that constitutes a loisei. So Shamas Yavashabas Lukacha is a lav, and Zochas Yavashabas Lukacha is an essay. They recite Kiddush. So that's why the Gemara works on that discrepancy. That's a major discrepancy. The Gemara says Zochar V'Shamar V'Dibur Echad Nemar. But the other discrepancies are just the gist of the both versions is the same. That's why the Gemara didn't work on that. So my impression is that that's the same over here. Zochas HaBracha records the gist of what Moshe Rabbeinu said with respect to all of the brachas to the various shvatim, but it's not word for word a quotation from Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, record in the Chumash the following, and it dictates to him word for word, letter for letter, b'zayis ha-bracha, so that we should learn adina from the way the Rabbeinu Shel Olam formulated the brachas. But this is not necessarily the way Moshe Rabbeinu said. The Gemara has a beautiful comment, Hashem is in Aibo, Zarach Miseir Lomai, so Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, Kechos and Hayetzi Likras Hakalo. Sometime I just went to a wedding the other night, and the Chosin was a Persian, the Kala was her father.
Gila.
a regular Ashkenazi, and by the Persians, obviously, the practice is that the chassan marches down the aisle first, and when the kala marches down with her parents, so the parents walk her a few feet away from the chuppah, then the chassan yotze likras hakala, and the kala goes with him under the chuppah. So the truth of the matter is that this idea kachasan ayetze likras hakala doesn't really apply this man hazeh, because in the days of the Tanakh till the days of the Goenim, there was Erisin first and then there was Nisuin. Erisin, she was an Eshes Ish, a Lobe Beis HaBaal, and Nisuin is Beis HaZuishto, the Gemara says in Yuma, the first parak, and Rashi and Kedushin writes, the first parak in Kedushin, that the idea of Beis HaZuishto only applies after Nisuin. So, and there used to be a year, a pause of a year in between Erisin and Nisuin. Used to be a year and a Wednesday. That's why there's a Yiddish expression, it takes a year and a Wednesday. Because when you learn Ksubis, the first daf, the first Mishnah, the Beis Amar Aleph, so if the Chassan did Erisin today, today is Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, Aleph Cheshvan, so he has to do Nisuin. He can't hold the world, he can't hold the girl as an Arusa for a couple of years. Either you do Knisa L'chuppe and you support her and you live with her, or you give her a get. You don't hold her indefinitely as an Arusa. So he has a right to wait till next year, Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, and then the following Wednesday. Varta Yoren Amitvach, he waits a year and a Wednesday till he has to do the Nisun. So in the days of the Tanakh, in the days of the Gemara, when the chassan would have the chuppah, he would be a chassan, she would be a kala. They're married already. It's his wife. So he would go to pick up his wife. The parents would march her down the aisle. He would be a chassan ayetze, likras hakala. But by us, they're only engaged and not even married. So it's al pidin, it's not really a chassan, it's not really a kala. Rabbi Yonah said, Eibishitz writes in one of his drushes that he was makpid, that because we refer to the engaged couple as a chassan kala in Yiddish, call them a chassan kala. So that's why people take lenient. People have leniencies. They're not so careful about some of the laws of harchokas. He says they're not a chassan kala. They're a meshudach and a meshudeches. I live in the neighborhood here, Washington Heights, where Rabbi Breuer used to live. So he was always makpid. When a couple would come to him when they would be engaged before they would get married, he would never refer to them as chassan kala. He referred to them as the meshudach and the meshudeches, because it's not really a chassan and a kala. So this whole idea of the chassan marching down from under the chuppah to pick up his kala doesn't really apply, Bisman has said, because today it's not really, he's not really a chassan, it's a likras kala. Rashi also quotes from the Chazal, Avchavei maimim kol kadosha biyadecha amim are the yud beishvatim, the various shvatim, every shevet is referred to as an am. And Rashi quotes the raya that the Chazal have from the Chumash. What is the relevance of making such a statement that every shevet has the status of an am? So the Mishnah in the first perek in Hoiria says, "Amachlekes hatanaim." We pass on halacha. Shevet echad ikri kohol. There is an institution of par helam dovashel tzibur that means the following: if a private person is mechal Shabbos b'shoygeig, a person eats chametz b'pesach b'shoygeig, or he bo'al anida b'shoygeig, so he has to bring a korban chatas. What if 51% of the tzibur who lives in Eretz Yisrael violated an isur kares because of a mistaken psak of the Bez Nagadol? Bez Nagadol is the Sanhedrin, and it consists of 71 rabbonim. So if there was a unanimous vote, when is there ever going to be a unanimous vote? The Jews are going to agree. 71 rabbis are going to agree on something. That's why they say the name of Rabbi Hutner, Zecharon Lecha, he was always very sharp. The Talmai HaMelech gathered together 72 scholars that they should translate the Torah. And he put each one in a different room. And a miracle of miracles, they all came out with the same translation. And they changed the Lashon in certain places in the Tanakh without consultation with each other. So he said it would have been a bigger miracle if they would have all been in the same room. And they would have come up with the same translation. In 72 different rooms, that's less of a miracle. Okay, the Jews always have different opinions. So the Chumash has this din. We don't know if it ever happened in the history of the world. Was there ever a Par Halam Dovashel Tzibur that the Bezna Gadol voted, unanimous vote, all 71 members said, made a mistake in an Issa Kares, and Rav HaTzibur, who live in Eretz Yisrael, 51% of the Jewish people who live in Eretz Yisrael, violated this Issa Kares b'shoigeg because of the mistake in Psaka de Bezna Gadol. So we don't require in such a case, we don't require that each and every individual person who violated the Issa Kares should bring his own chatos, kizbo asira. We say the Bezna Gadol brings one par halam dovish al tzibur for the whole tzibur, and everybody gets a kapari with that. So the Mishnah has the first perik and hurrius. The Mishnah has a machlekes hatanoim. Does it only apply if the Bezna Hagadol should be Lishkas Hagazis makes the mistake? Every shevet had its own Bezna Hagadol. That's a Mishnais in the first perik and hurrius. That's the Ramban al Torah points out, the opening posik and Parsha Shoftim. Shoftim shotit lacha lishvatecha. What does it mean? B'chol shevet v'shevet. So the Ramban says what it means is that each and every individual shevet has to have a Bezna Gadol for that shevet, that should paskan for their shevet. We can imagine that there are going to be 12 different psukim, how to like tefillin, or how to daven, or how to fulfill kriyashma. Every shevet has the obligation to follow their Bezna Gadol. How many Rabbanim were there in the Bezna Gadol of the shevet? The Ramban is not sure. He's misupik whether there were 71 members of the Bezna Gadol, so-called shevet with shevet, or there were 23. So Leitchik thought in his mind, he understood, he thought that it does make sense that it should only be 23. So why are they more important than any other Beznin in the Shevet? He thought that that side in the Ramban is more correct, that it should be 71 members of the Bezna Gadol. So we pass on the halacha that Shevet Dechad Ikri Kohol, that if the Bezna Gadol of the Shevet made a mistake, unanimous vote, all 71 or all 23, whatever it happens to be, they all made a mistake on an Issa Kares, and 51% of the members of their Shevet violated the Issa Kares because of the mistaken psak of their Bezna Gadol of the Shevet, that Bezna Gadol brings a Parhalam Dovashal Tzimah. That's how we pass in Koshevet Dechad Ikri Kohol, because the expression used in Parshas V'Yikra is V'Ne'alam Dova Me'ene HaKohol. The Bezna Gadol of the Shevet is called Me'ene HaKohol. The Ravid has a commentary on the Torah's Kohanim. It's printed on the bottom of the page. That's the same Ravid that we have on the side of the Rambam. There are different Ravids. The Ravid of Baba Kama, I think they say, is by somebody else. And the Ravid who wrote the Eshkol is somebody else. That was the father-in-law of the Ravid Bal HaHasog. There was few Ravids. So the Ravid Bal HaHasog wrote a commentary on the Torah's Kohanim, where he writes the following. There's a pasuk in Navi that says, "Ani Hashem lo shanisi v'atem b'nei ankev lo chilisim." Kodesh Baruch Hu says, just like I don't change, so too b'nei Yisrael will never be wiped out. So the Gemara says, not only does that haftocha, atem b'nei ankev lo chilisim, not only does it apply to the Jewish nation as a whole, the Jewish people will never be wiped out, but it applies to each and every individual shevet. The Gemara has a lashon in Perakei Shnoichlin in the end of Baba Basu Gimiri. You have a tradition, the law called the Shifta Mi Yisrael. The Gemara runs through the dinim. Let's say a person dies, he has sons, he has daughters, so the sons get the Yerusha. What if the sons died before the father and they left daughters? So there are granddaughters and daughters who gets the Yerusha. There are cousins, uncle, aunts, and so on. So if everybody died, it goes to the fifth cousin. What if everybody in the Shevet died? Then it goes all the way back to Yankov Avil, and you divide it among all the Shvatim. The Gemara says, no, that'll never happen. Gemiri, we have a tradition. The law called the Shiftim Yisrael. That's impossible. An entire Shevet should be wiped out, should die. It's impossible. Why is it impossible? So the Ravid in his commentary on the Torah's Kohanim points out that Haftocha, Atem B'nei Yankov Lo Chilisim, that the Klal Yisrael will never be wiped out, applies to each and every individual Shevet because Shevet Dechad Ikri Kohol, because every Shevet, Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, every Shevet is called an Am, and that was the Haftocha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made, that Am Yisrael will never be wiped out, and every Shevet is considered a Kohol, every Shevet is considered Am Yisrael. Originally, that was the original plan, that every Shevet is going to have its own Bezna Gadol, and whenever a Shaila will come up, they'll present the Shaila to the Bezna Gadol of their Shevet. You don't have to run with all the Shailas to the Bezna Gadol in Yerushalayim. Now that we have telephones and fax machines and email. So for years, whenever a Shaila would come up in America, anywhere, they would call on the telephone, Rabbi Yashiv and Shain, whatever Rabbi Eliashiv said, that's the psak for all of Klal Yisrael. That wasn't the case in Europe. They didn't always, they knew that Rabbi Rab Chaim Eiser said. Every rabbi in his own city, paskin the way he saw fit. They had big Talmid HaChachamim. There's nothing wrong. Eilu Eilu Dibelikim Chaim. There was healthy dispute between Bishamai and Bishilo. The only time it says you have to present the Shadah to the Bez Nagoro is Ki Yipola Mimcha Dobah Bein Dam Ledam Bein Din Lendin Bein Nega Lenega Dibei Rivas Bisharecho. If it's causing friction in the community because everybody's together, that's Anisa Loises Gerderu. That friction in the community because of different ways to observe the mitzvahs. Shalot Eruah Turkish Day Torahs. But if one Shevet does Avodas Hashem one way, the other Shevet does Avodas Hashem another way, and everything is based on Midrash Atar and Nidreshes Behem, that's healthy, that's fine. You don't necessarily have to have everybody doing exactly the same thing. Then the Chumash has the famous Pasuk Torah. Towards the end of Makkos, I think that's after what you covered, more towards the end of Makkos comments, Torah begin Matria 611, Tof Resh is 600, and Vav and Hay is 11. The Torah Tzivolano Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu told us 611 mitzvahs. And the other two is, the Gemara says, when you look at the Aseres HaDibros, you see that the language changes. The first two of the Aseres HaDibros, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking directly to Bnei Yisrael. Then later on, Lasisa Hashem, Hashem Alakecha, Lashav Ki Lo Yanake Hashem, doesn't read Lasisa Shmi, Lashav Ki Lo Anake. Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking. And then all the rest, Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking. It's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's how the Gemara understood at Anoichi V'Layilacha were directly given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So those two mitzvahs were given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the remaining 611 were given by Moshe Rabbeinu. Truth of the matter is that the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, and the Mishnah appears again in the end of the first Perek in Chagiga. The Loshon HaMishnah is that the Gematrios HaParperos LaChochma. It means a Gematria is a cute thing. It's a cute thing, but it's not from the Midrash HaTorah Reshes Bahem. We never learn out any halachas from a Gematria. So what is the Gemara learning out here from Torah? The Gematria is 611. We never learn anything out from the Gematria. There's a Gemara in Masechus Shabbos and around Afayin or so, where the Gemara, the Mishnah and Afayin, Gimla Man Aleph and Shabbos says that there are Ovis Malachas, Abayim Chosarachas, the 39 Ovis Malachas. How did the Tanoim know that there are 39? So there are different opinions in Tanoim. Not all the Tanoim agree that the 39. It's an Apkamina Ledina. How many, if a person violated all the Malachas, the Hela Mechod, how many chatos does he bring? So we assume that there are 39, not all the Tanoim agree. So the Gemara says, one Tana derives it from the Gematria. It says, Ela hadvar mashet tzib Hashem el b'nei Yisrael, then it has the dinam of Shabbos. So Ela is the Gematria, Aleph Lamed Hey is 36, Dvarim is plural, is 2, Miod Rabim Shnaim, and Dvarim hadvarim, Hey Haidia means that there's a third Dovar. So 36 with 3 is 39. So the Bnei Yeshua, in his commentary on Masechus Shabbos, points out, what do you mean you're learning out the halacha that there are 39 malachas? That's a real dinner, 39 malachas. And if a person is Mechal Shabbos with all the various forms, others and toldos and everything, he only brings 39. He doesn't bring more, he doesn't bring less. He brings 39 chatos. So that's a real din. You're learning out a din from the Gematria. So he says, that's the klal, gematrios are just parperos lachachma. You never learn out anything. So he says, he thinks that this is clearly an asmachta. And he says, there is a gemara in Nazir in the first perek, where the gemara says, a person is mekabel naziris. So you cannot be a nazir for less than 30 days. Naziris doesn't have to be in units of 30 days. It doesn't have to be either 30, 60, 90, 120. You can give 40 days, 50 days. You can have 5 years of Nazir, 10 years of Naziris. But it has to be a minimum of 30 days. And if a person makes a declaration, Hareni Nazir, he's Mekabal Aned in Naziris, he doesn't say how long. So the Mishnah says that Stam Naziris is Shloshim Yom. Even though he didn't know. He thought you can be Mekabal. He says, Hareni Nazir Yom Mechot. He's Mekabal Naziris for 1 day. So the Mishnah says, sorry. He's a nazir for 30 days. Not that this is psychological umdin and that's what he meant. He didn't mean that. But it was mekabel naziris, the minimum amount that has to be observed is 30 days. So the Gemara says, how do you know that this is so menohani mili? The Gemara learns it out from the gematria. Kodoshi hiya gadel peres sa'ar osho. And Parshas Naso and the Parsha of Nazir. So the word Yihyeh, the gematria, kolosan havi. Yud hey is 30. The two yuds are 20, and hey is 10. So that's 30. So the Pnei Yeshua and Shabbos on that Gemara, Ela Hadvarim and the Ayins. So the Pnei Yeshua tells you, look in the Pirush HaMishnayis LaHarambam on that Mishnah in the first Perek in Nazir. The Rambam says, you're never learning out any halacha from the gematria. The Gemara had a tradition, the Stam Nazir Shloshim Yom, but you don't really learn out halachas. Here also, this idea that there are Taryag mitzvahs, this was a tradition that there are Taryag mitzvahs. The Ramban, there's so much literature on the Taryag mitzvahs. The Ramban, in the introduction to his Hasogas and the Sefer HaMitzvahs, raises the question, is this really universally accepted? That the 613 mitzvahs, so many different disputes among the Tanoim, whether certain psukim are taken as a reshus or a chayva. So is it, do all the Tanaim agree to this? Or is this only Reb Simloi is the one who says it in the end of Maseches Makas? That's a question. What is the relevance? What's the significance of how many mitzvahs there are? That's a question. That's a big question. The main afkemina, whether something is one of the 613 mitzvahs or not. There's so many more things we're obligated to observe, which are not considered part of the Taryag Mitzvah Sater. So a Talmud Chacham, I remember reading years ago an essay by a prominent Talmud Chacham, and he gives different suggestions, comes out, he doesn't know. What is the relevance? L'may nafkemina, whether something is included in the Sefer HaMitzvahs or not. The Kalal Mitzvah Sese, Dech HaMitzvahs Loi Sese, it doesn't have to be a Mitzvah Sese from the 248 Mitzvah Sese, even if it's not. Esse dechala says it doesn't have to be. So the main afkemina, it's a big question. But that's the Gemara has the comment on Torah Tzivalon Moshe, Torah B'Gematria 611. Then they have the beautiful Pasuk on Rosh Hashanah and Musaf. We recite the three brachas on Malchi, Zechorinus, and Shofers. And our practice is that we recite 10 psukim for Malchi, 10 psukim for Zechorinus, and 10 psukim for Shofers. We first start off 3 psukim from Chumash, 3 psukim from Ksuvim, 3 psukim from Nevi'im, and then we end off the 10th pasuk after the 3, 3, and 3, after 9 psukim, so we end off with the 10th pasuk from Chumash. So the Gemara in Maseches Mashana points out, you don't have 4 psukim in Chumash that say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. In Tehillim you have a lot of time. Shem Melech Geis Lavesh, you have a lot of times Melech, but in Chumash you have very few psukim. So one of the psukim is Shema Yisrael Hashem Malkeinu Hashem Echad. That's the 10th pasuk in Malchias. That counts, even though the word Melech doesn't appear, Hashem Malkeinu Hashem Echad counts as a pasuk from Malchias. And this pasuk, Vayi B'Shura Melech, B'Zasav Rosh Yom, counts also as Malchias. The Gemara obviously understood that's in our Nusach HaTfilah, that's in our Machzor, it says like that. Vayi B'Shura Melech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Melech of Bnei Yisrael, B'Zasav Rosh Yom. Rashi explains, when the Jewish people are ba'achtus, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the melech over us. When we're b'machlekes, it doesn't seem that he is the melech. Some of the mefarshim and chumash interpret the pasuk differently. He was sure melech. Moshe Rabbeinu was the melech of Bnei Yisrael. That is true. Moshe Rabbeinu had a din of melech. But that's a problem. The Gemara says the pasuk refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was sure melech. It doesn't refer to Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah, psukim a lot of times, pshut Rishon Mikra is one way, and there's an additional level of interpretation. So that's the question over here. What the pshut Rishon Mikra is, Vayi B'Shur Melech refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the additional level of interpretation is that it also refers to Moshe Rabbeinu, or the reverse, that you included in the psukim HaMalchias because that's an additional level of interpretation. Pshut Rishon Mikra is that refers to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the drasha, the additional level of interpretation, is that it refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a question. Does the pasuk maintain, can you have over here, a lot of psukim like that, you have pshut Rishon Mikra, you have additional levels of interpretation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote the Chumash in such a way that any given pasuk can have more than, Achaz Dibra Elokim Shtayim Zu Shamati. There's one text in the Chumash and can have more than one level of interpretation. There were books that were written by Nochrim, where there's more than one, where the author tells us that he had more than one kavana in writing the book. He had an obvious intention, and then he had two hidden intentions. In Tanakh, in Chumash, you have a lot of times like that. You have Pshuto Shem Mikra, and you have Ein Amikra Yetzim Midei Pshuto. The Pshuto is true, but the drushes of the Torah Shebaal Peh are also true. The Ramban writes in the Sefer HaMitzvah, the Chazal never said, the Gemara in Masechah Shabbos never said, Ein Bamikra Ela Pshuto. The Gemara says, Ein Amikra Yetzim Midei Pshuto. The Pshuto Shem Mikra is also true, but the drushes of the Torah Shebaal Peh, the additional interpretations that the Chazal gave are certainly also true. In the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gives to Shevet Levi, he refers to them and he says, "Uvrischa yinsoru." Shevet Levi observed the bris milah. What does that mean? All the Jewish people observe bris milah. So the Gemara in Yevamos, towards the end of Yevamos, Perek Oral, begins on the Afayin. So the Gemara in Yevamos tells that during the 40 years that Bnei Yisrael were traveling in the Midbar, the weather conditions were such that it was a bit dangerous to perform a bris milah. Bris milah is a surgery. You're going to have an open wound. And if the weather conditions are not what they're supposed to be, then it could be that it'll be a sakana for the baby. So there was a slight sakana. So from all of the Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, only Shevet Levi observed the bris milah for 40 years. The rest of the Shvatim did not observe Bris Milah. So the Chasam Sofer and his Tshuvas raises a serious question. They had an Orthodox rabbi there by the name of Moshe Rabbeinu. So what did he think about this? If there was really a Safek Sakana, he should have not permitted Shevet Levi to observe Bris Milah. And if it was such an insignificant Safek Sakana, it was a joke, there's always a Safek Sakana. If it was so insignificant, then he should have told the other Shvatim that they have to observe, they have to also observe Milah. How can it be that Moshe Rabbeinu allows Shevet Levi to observe Bris Milah and the others do not observe and he doesn't say anything? They're right and everybody's right. How can it be? So the answer seems to be there is a din in the Gemara. Many people are invoking that halacha now. The Gemara has a din based on a pasuk in Tehillim that appears in the Siddur and the Pesuk of the Zimra for Shabbos. Shemer Psayim Hashem. So the Gemara says, a person has to be careful not to put himself in a mokum sakana. Not allowed to put yourself in a mokum sakana where you lose your life, or you're not allowed to put yourself in a mokum sakana where you may get sick, even if you're not going to lose your life. As we say in the Slichas davening, Anushama loch v'aguf shaloch. HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns our body and he owns our soul. And we have no right to take our life, and we have no right to allow ourselves to get sick. So what if there's a slight suffix sakana, one chance in a million? So that's ridiculous. One chance in a million. A suffix echad mi'ani elef alfi alofim. So the Chasam Sofer, as a Chubi said, that's a joke. That's not called a suffix sakana. What if it's a suffix, one in 500 will get sick? Less than 1%. One in 500 will get sick. Is that considered a suffix sakana? So the Gemara says, if the suffix sakana is nowhere near 50-50, then it depends on each individual person. For those people who are nervous, it's considered a suffix sakana. For those who are not nervous, it's not considered a suffix sakana. It all depends who's concerned. If you come to a shul, come to a yeshiva, where the majority of the people are concerned, so everyone has to observe the harchokas. Everybody has to have the mask and everybody has to have the distancing because it's a safek sakana for them. They are concerned. So that's why Reb Chaim Moizer has a tshuva where he paskins like this and he quotes several major poskim who write like this in their tshuva. Shem Epsayim Hashem refers to a situation where it's nowhere near 50-50 safek sakana, very slight safek sakana. So then it then depends on each individual person. For those who are nervous, it's considered a suffix sakana. For those who are not nervous, it's not considered a suffix sakana. That's the halacha that's learned out from this pasuk in Mezayis HaBrocha. Brischa yintzoro. Only Shevet Levi, they had bitochen. So they observed bris milah all the 40 years in the midbar. And the rest of the shvatim did not. And they were both doing the correct thing. For those who are nervous, it's considered suffix sakana. Those who are not nervous, not considered suffix sakana. I remember during the Gulf War, before you people were born, so many of the American students who were learning in Eretz Yisrael left Eretz Yisrael. Either they were petrified or their parents were petrified. They went back to England, to America, whatever, wherever they came from, they all went back. And many from America went, there was a chartered flight And there were 100, I think, more than 100. There was a group of boys and girls went from Stern College and from Yeshiva College to give chizuk to the people in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, the people were so appreciative that we came. They thought the Americans know all the secrets in the world. So I remember when we would go by taxi somewhere, the taxi driver would find out we're from the American group. They wouldn't charge us for the trip. And they were so appreciative. They felt as if we know all the secrets in the world, and if we're there in Eretz Yisrael, means that there's no sakon. And Taco hardly, I think only one person died because he didn't know how to put on the gas mask. Hardly anyone died during the Gulf War. Anyway, so they're both right. Those who are leaving Eretz Yisrael were right, and those who were going to Eretz Yisrael, those, I thought it was a big joke. What, Saddam Hussein is going to drop bombs on Eretz Yisrael? So the Americans went, we weren't nervous. And those Americans who were there, who were leaving, they were nervous. So they're both right. For those who are nervous, it's considered Sofek Sakana. For those who are not nervous, it's not considered a Sofek Sakana. The Pasuk Moshe Rabbeinu speaks about Shevet Levi. He says, Yorim Mashpatech L'Yakov Seroscha L'Yisrael, that Shevet Levi should pass Neshailas for the Jewish people. So the Rambam quotes from the Tanoim in Hilchos Sanhedrin that the Pasuk teaches you that there's a special mitzvah when you appoint in America now. President Trump is in the process of appointing a new member of the Supreme Court. So the what do you have to consider? Let's say when you appoint a new member of the Bez Nagodl. Bez Nagodl has 71 members. So one of the members passes away. We don't have women in the Bez Nagodl, but in America, the woman Supreme Court justice died, so they're appointing another woman in her stead. So we have men in the Bez Nagodl. So what do you consider when you have to, what do you keep in mind when you have to appoint someone to the Bez Nagodl? Whoever is more learned. So let's say you have a few candidates, and they're all approximately the same, and one of them is a Kohen or a Levi. So the Rambam quotes from the Tanaim, Yorim Mishpatech Le'Yankiv, it's preferable to appoint a Levi to be a member of the Bez Nagodl as opposed to appointing a Yisrael. And then it says in the Chumash, when you go to ask a Shaila of the Bez Nagodl, you should follow Vosal HaKoinim, HaLevim, Ashiya Bayamim Ayim. You go to the Kohanim HaLevim. So it's a mitzvah to appoint Kohanim HaLevim to be members of the Bez Nagodl. Means that if they're qualified, if you have a few people who are equally qualified, and one of them is a Kohen or a Levi, so it's preferable to appoint them. The Shevet Levi is supposed to be the international Kohelel of Klal Yisrael. That's why Shevet Levi, Lonot L'Chelek Ba'aretz, they didn't get any share in Eretz Yisrael, because they're supposed to be supported. We're supposed to be giving them Ma'aser Rishon and Olachov Dalet Matnas Kahuna to support them, and they're supposed to be sitting and learning and paskening all the Shailas. So the Lecha Mishneh points out on that Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin, surprising, that this special mitzvah, if you can, you should appoint, you should give preference to appoint a Kohen or a Levi to be a member of the Bez Nagodl, only applies to the Bez Nagodl. That's the Bez Nagodl of all of Klal Yisrael. So the Shevet Levi is supposed to be the international Kohelel of Klal Yisrael. The Pasuk continues to say about Shevet Levi, Baruch Hashem Chelo Ufal Yodav Tirtzeh. Baruch Hashem Chelo, so the Torah Shebal Peh has a comment on this. Afilu Chalolim Shebo, when a Kohen is a Cholol, Cholol means empty space, vacuum. Cholol means empty. A Kohen who is a Cholol is permitted to marry a Grusha, is permitted to go to the cemetery. He doesn't have any dinim of Kuhuna at all. But there's one exception to the rule. If the Kohen Cholol was Makarib Karbonis, Bidiyeved, so we say Baruch Hashem Chelo, Afilu Chalolim Shebo, Afuelo Yodav Tirtzeh, Ritzui is an expression that Ruba de Ruba appears in Tanakh in connection with Karbonis. That's what the Baal HaTanya writes. Baal HaTanya writes, that's an expression that appears in Mishnah Yisalat and in Tanakh. If the Karbon is accepted, Vidyebet, so you say Hurtza. If the Karbon is not accepted, you say Loi Hurtza. The Karbon is not good. So here it's Afuelo Yodav Tirtzeh, the Hakrabas Hakrabonis of the Cholol, Baruch Hashem Chelo, will be accepted by the Eved. If the Kohen Cholol Shavu by the Eved, Abedosik Shere. There's a famous machlokes between Tosfos and the Rambam regarding the details of this din. Taisus learns Pshat and the Gemara, and the simple Pshat and the Gemara is like Taisus, that it's only a cholol she'eni yodua. The cholol did avoida, he thought, and everybody thought that he was assumed to be a kohen, all he is. And after he read it, did the avoida, then we discover that he was a cholol. What if he knew in advance that he was a cholol, and nonetheless, he didn't know the din, or he did know the din, and he went ahead and he was makar a carbon. And at the time that he was makar with the carbon, he was already a cholol yodua. So then Taisus says, this din would not apply. The avoida would not be kosher b'di'evid. And the Rambam holds not so. The simple reading of the Gemara Makkos, you may have learned that Gemara, in Elohein HaGoylin. What's a din? The Horig B'shogig has to go to the Ori Miklot, and he stays there till Admos HaKoyen HaGodol, till the Kohen Godol passes away. So what if the Kohen Godol doesn't die? What if the Kohen Godol is discovered to be a cholol? So is that the same as Mesa Kohuna? Until now he was a Kohen Godol. Now he's no longer a Kohen Godol. Because b'di'evid avodosik sheva, the avoda that he did b'di'evid is good. Or do you say, no, but lakun, it's a gloy milsalam afreya, that he was never a kohen gadol, he was always a chol. So that's the simple reading of the Gemara, of that Gemara is like Taisus, that is only by cholol she'eni yodua. If he wasn't all along, he was not known to be a cholol. We thought he was a kohen kosher. And then afterwards, we discover that he's a cholol. So up until now, avodasa kshera, the kamiyelach, it'll be avodasa psula. So that's why the Gemara has one opinion that it's the equivalent of mesa kunas. Like if the kohen gadol dies, the harig b'shegig has the right to leave the ori miklat and go home. So this is also mesa kuhuna. And the Rambam has to figure out how he's going to deal with that Gemara. That's the simple reading of the Gemara in Makkos, Perek Elohein HaGoylin, reads like the Taisus, not like the Rambam. In the bracha regarding Shevet Binyamin, the Gemara learns that also din. The Gemara learns that from other psukim, that when the Bnei Yisrael are interested in building a Beis HaMikdash, the Rabbanim have to first try to ascertain on their own, where is the most correct location to build a Beis HaMikdash, and then after they make up their mind, then they have to consult a Novi. So David HaMelech, first, every time David HaMelech was successful in battle, he was always successful, he would always set aside all the precious metal, the gold, the silver, the copper, all the precious metal, he would set aside and be magdashid for the Beis HaMikdash. Then after amassing all of this treasure of precious metal, he wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash, so you have to figure out where you're going to build it. So he thought the Sechel dictates it should be the highest location in Eretz Yisrael. The highest location is not Yerushalayim. The highest location is Ein Itim, not in Yerushalayim. And then the halacha says you have to consult a Navi. So he consulted the Navi, and the Navi said wrong. Since the Pasuk says in Parshas, in the Bracha of Binyamin, Uven Ksefop Shachein, so the most Bekovedik place to build a Beis HaMikdash is a little lower than the highest elevation, the highest location. So we should build a Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. The Gemara makes a statement that Eretz Yisrael Gavoy Mikol HaRotzis, Yerushalayim Gavoy Mikol Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim is the highest location in Eretz Yisrael. So how can the Gemara make such a statement? The Gemara says it based on the Pasuk in Parashat Shoftim. Ki Yipalim Mimcha Dovel HaMishpat, Dibei Rivas Bisharecha, we quoted before, the Kamtov Yalis Alamokam. You should go up to the high location of the Beis HaMikdash. You see that the Yerushalayim Gevoyim Mikol Eretz Yisrael. So how can the Gemara say Yerushalayim Gevoyim Mikol Eretz Yisrael if the Gemara itself says David HaMelech wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash in Ein Itim because Ein Itim is a higher location above sea level? So the Balamor in Maseches Rosh Hashanah and the Abchof from the Beis is a very strange Gemara there. Rashi and Tosfos have a very strange, very difficult interpretation in the Gemara. So the Chazon Ish has a whole essay, Kuntres Yutchev Shoes, in Chazon Ish and Chelek HaRechaim, where he has a whole arichas to explain the sheet of the Balamor and the Sefer HaKuzari, and several Rishonim learn the same pshat that the Balamor quotes it from an earlier Rishon. All a group of Rishonim learn not like Rashi and Tosfos, a whole different pshat. The Gemara there in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chaf and the Beis, is discussing the issue of where is the international dateline. So what it means is, the Balamor explains, what do you mean, Yerushalayim Gavoyim Mekal Eretz Yisrael? It does mean Yerushalayim is the highest elevation above sea level. It's not true. Ein Itim is higher than Yerushalayim. That's why David HaMelech thought initially to build a Beis HaMikdash in Ein Itim. It means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Bereshis Bor Elokim, Vayera, Vayivarka, Yom Echad, when the world was created, the whole cosmos with all the stars and planets and everything, what part of the globe was on top? We always visualize as if the North Pole is on top. You can just as well visualize as if the South Pole is on top. You can visualize as if Moscow is on top or New York City is on top. So what was on top when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world? What was held on top? So the Baal HaMoreh said, that's what the Gemara means. Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, Gevayim, Mekol HaRotzes. Eretz Yisrael is not higher than the Swiss Alps. Swiss Alps is much higher above sea level than Yerushalayim. So what does it mean, Eretz Yisrael, Gevayim, Mekol HaRotzes? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he didn't hold the North Pole on the top. He didn't hold the South Pole on the top. He held Eretz Yisrael with Yerushalayim on top. So the world is the earth is a globe. And if it's a globe, then it has 360 degrees and has two hemispheres, an upper hemisphere and a lower hemisphere. We usually divide upper hemisphere, lower hemisphere by the equator because we always visualize as if the North Pole is on top. But if you have Yerushalayim on top, so it's 90 degrees to the east and 90 degrees to the west, that's the upper hemisphere. So if Yerushalayim is on top and it says, it became Lila, 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim, so that's where all of time begins. That's when Sunday began, the first day of Sheshis May Bereshis. So that's what all of these Rishonim interpret this Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chaf Amud Beis, international dateline Al Pi Din is 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim, and it cuts through Manchuria and it cuts through Australia. And you have a lot of details. That's what the Chazon Ish wrote a whole essay to be Mevarer, the details of this din. We have a
We were wondering if the Rosh Yeshiva could maybe answer a few questions. I think that would be awesome. Sure. The Rosh Yeshiva could do some time. But if the Rosh Yeshiva minds now, can I? Okay, so I'll call on the people. Okay, so first, Yosef Axelrod.
Very good.
How should we view Neturei Karta?
I met a fellow who used to be the in New Jersey, who used to be the commissioner of kashrus for the state of New Jersey. Now the government did away with the state kashrus commission because they decided it's a violation of church and state. But for many years, they didn't feel it's a violation. If you have false advertisement that people say their butcher shop is kosher and it's not kosher, that's false advertising. So the government had a kashrus commission. So this fellow had learned, a very learned fellow, he had learned in Cleveland and tells the yeshiva when he was younger. And he said Rabbi Gifter was in the Rosh Yeshiva and he was very kind to him, he was very friendly with him. And he said, if you ever have any shilas in Hashkofa, you should come and ask me and I'll explain everything. So he said, Rabbi Gifter would always explain all the different shitas, what he thought was the correct shita and what the other people held. So on one occasion, this fellow asked Rabbi Gifter, what does he say about the Neturei Karta? So he says that I'm a glat mishugoyim. They're just lunatics, a bunch of lunatics. They didn't understand everything else, the craziest sheet in the world. Rabbi Gifter would explain it. He would say what I hold and what they hold. And over here he said the glat mishugoyim. So he didn't understand why until a few years went by. He was married and he went to visit Eretz Yisrael. He had a relative who was from the Neturei Karta. He was eating by him on Shabbos. And then they walked to Davin Mincha early on Shabbos afternoon to an early minyan. So they passed by a policeman on the corner of Kikar Shabbat and Meir Sharim. So after they passed by the policeman, so his cousin tells him, his relative in the Neturei Karta tells him, by right, that should really kill him, even on Shabbos. But we don't always do what we're mechuyev to do. So he realized that Rabbi Gifter is right. He's an aglat mishugoyim, lunatics. They don't really have any shita. They're off the walls. There's such a small group, such a tiny group. The Satpa are not to be identified with the Neturei Karta Satma Havashita, but the Neturei Karta is in Gansen, apparently a bunch of lunatics.
Okay, thank you. Shmuel Metz.
What would Rebbe ask Rav Soloveitchik at a question-answer session today?
What would what?
What one question would Rebbe ask Rav Soloveitchik at a question answer session?
We have hundreds of questions that we were foolish. We should have asked him while we had him. Now he's gone. I don't know. We have a lot of questions we're not sure about. The Gemara tells in Brachas, the Gemara tells a story that Rav passed away. And on the way back from the funeral, everybody stopped by a river in order to, they all apparently had sandwiches. So they were all eating. And then they had a shaila, can they bench mezumin or not? Because the din is shlosh shochlo ka'achas, only if the ten people, a mezumin, if the three people ate together. This is called ochlo ka'achas. So the Gemara has a comment. Rav passed away, and we don't even know how to bench mezumin. We don't know the ABCs. So Rav Soloveitchik used to refer to that Gemara. He says, when his father was alive, he should have used the opportunity. His father was Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, who heard so much from his father, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, and from other Gedolim. Rav Soloveitchik had traditions from many Gedolim. So he said, we were all foolish when we had access to these, to his father, to his Rebbe. We didn't ask him all the questions that we have. That's the Gemara says. Rav passed away, and they didn't know how to bench mezumin and the ABCs. We should have asked our Rebbe while he was around. A lot of things we should have asked.
Hi, Rebbe. What was Rebbe's hardest difficulty or challenge that Rebbe faced in the past 6 months, personally, while Rebbe was dealing with Corona?
What was my most difficult challenge? I'm going off my mind. I like to talk to people. I'm a friendly, I think most people are friendly. They like to associate with others. It was such a sad sukkah. Usually we have a gigantic sukkah and my children come and visit. We go visit my children. People from the neighborhood visit, eat by us. We eat by them. We all eat together. This sukkah, I made a half the size sukkah, had panels. I made half the size. I just sat in the sukkah along with my wife. That's all. Just in order not to go out of our minds. So the first day of Yom Tov was Shabbos, the first day Sukkot. So we ate in the catered sukkah in the community, just in order to see other human beings. But I find that very hard, to be isolated, not to associate with people, and to talk on the phone all day long. I'm not used to talking on the phone so much. That's why I appreciate it that I can give a shiur by Zoom to human beings. You did a teiva to me that I can relate to someone else. I thank you.
Hello, Rebbe. What's the most fascinating shiloh that Rebbe has received during these corona times?
I didn't think that any of the shilohs was so earth-shattering. The shilohs are elementary. The shiloh, let's say yesterday, someone called. They had a baby. They want to have a pidyon haben. And then the family, they always use this kohen. He's the makor kohen. So they have to have the pidyon haben. But the parents and the grandparents are nervous. If that kohen will come, they're afraid that he may have been exposed to corona. So they have to have that kohen because he's the family kohen. So how can they do pidyon haben if they don't want it? So I said, the poskim, it's a shaila that the, It's not a Shabbat that came up yesterday. It happened yesterday, someone, and they're Rabbanim. They're only going to have, the parents and the grandparents are going to be there by the Pinyan HaBen, and the coin is going to be somewhere else, and it's going to be by Zoom. So what can they do by Zoom? So I said, let the coin appoint the grandfather as a shaliach to receive the money for him. In Shulchan Aruch, the Ramo quotes the Rivosh that Pinyan HaBen should not be done by the shaliach. In the Chasam Sofer, on the side of the page in the big Yeridei, says that just like my Makas Becharis, it says, Babat Be'eretz Yisrael Balayla, Zadi Kesi Gevachor, Ani B'loi HaShaliach, so just like Makas Becharis was Ani B'loi HaShaliach, so Pidyon HaBen should be Ani B'loi HaShaliach. So that's only, the father should not make a Shliach to do the Pidyon HaBen on his behalf. But the Kohen may make a Shliach. So the Chasam Sofer says, let the Kohen make the grandfather the shliach to receive the money for him. The kohen will be talking on the Zoom. He'll say, "By me bois tvei." The kohen will say what he's supposed to say. Then he'll say, "I hereby appoint the grandfather." The Chasam Sofer in the Tshuva has a chumrah that the grandfather happens that it's correct over here. The shliach of the kohen to do the pidyon haben on his behalf should not be a levi. Why? Because the Gemara has a klal when one is going to function as a shliach on behalf of someone else, he has to be b'toris that matter, that issue. So the Gemara says, a nochri is zayne b'toris gittin kiddushin. So even if a nochri could have been a shliach, but he can't be a shliach by gittin kiddushin, because zayne b'toris. Whenever you're ain't b'toris some inyan, so you can't be a shliach in that area. So the Gemara had a havamina that a woman cannot be a shliach lahilochas haget, because a woman can never give a get, and a man can never be a shliach lekabolas haget. So the Gemara shows that it's not true. Gemara's in get, it's not true. A man and a woman, they're both yeshlim b'toris get. The woman can receive the get, and the man can give the get. So here, the Chassam Sefer raises such a possibility. He doesn't think it's correct. So he says, maybe Levim neither give Pidyon HaBen, nor they receive Pidyon HaBen. So the Levim are out of the parsha of Pidyon HaBen Kohanim, at least they receive the money for Pidyon HaBen. So maybe you can appoint a Kohen as the Shliach. Maybe the Kohen can appoint a Kohen to be the Shliach to receive the money for him. But a Kohen maybe can't appoint a Levi to receive. So the rabbi told me on the phone, the grandfather is Israel. They all daven in his shul. The grandfather is not a Kohen, is not a Levi, is Israel. So that's fine. That wasn't a special shaila that where the people mitzarf to a minyan. These are old shailas. This is all discussed when you have a bris milah. Which brachas can the grandfather say in California? Which brachas have to be recited by somebody there? These are no special dinim over here. Nothing was new. I didn't see that anything new happened over here. And about the leaving out all the piyutim in 1831, I think there was an epidemic. There was a cholera epidemic in Europe, and Rebbe Kiveger insisted that every other seat in the shul has to be empty. They didn't know 6 feet social distancing. They thought every other seat is enough. And he said they're going to abridge the davening, because the longer they're all going to be together, so the more chashash is that one who has the sickness can transmit it to the others. So when they daven on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Rabbi Kiveger said that you leave out all the piyutim. The piyutim are just minhagim. So that's not, Rabbi Kiveger said like that. So some of the wise guys in our generation said, I'm an apikiris. As I said, we should leave out all the piyutim. Rabbi Kiveger was also an apikiris. Rabbi Kiveger said, you have to limit the amount of time that you're together. Sechel, you have to use your brains. So you observe all the dinim, and minhagim will observe the piyutim, will say the piyutim next year. And Rabbi Kiveger insisted, whoever goes to shul on Rosh Hashanah, every other seat has to be empty. Whoever goes to shul on Rosh Hashanah can't come on Yom Kippur. Whoever comes to Yom Kippur can't come on Rosh Hashanah. The hours that you're in shul, Yom Kippur, you're in shul all day long. Rosh Hashanah, they're both days together, equal the amount of time that people are in shul on Yom Kippur. And he said he is going to have the police at the front door. They're not going to let anyone in unless it has a ticket and it says, you have the right to come on Rosh Hashanah, you have the right to come on Yom Kippur. So these are all, what you can say, the yechidus of what you can say, these are all dinim and shulchan aruch. Nothing was new. Nothing new happened now. And all those are missed kriyas haTorah. How can you make up? Can you make up kriyas haTorah? Months later, can you make up? How can you make up kriyas haTorah? This is all discussion in shulchan aruch. This is all dinim. I was fortunate that one of the years that I learned by Rav Soloveitchik gave shiur man hilchas kriyas haTorah. So I was lucky. I heard all the shiur. So a lot of the things that I recommended to people are things that I heard from Rabbi Soloveitchik. No new shailas came up. No new shailas came up that are not covered in the Shulchan Aruch. In fact, it's interesting. Rabbi Meir, what's his name? He used to be the Rosh Yeshiva in Shalavim. Rabbi Meir Schlesinger, he was the founding Rosh Yeshiva in Shalavim. So he said, after Melchemet Yom HaKippurim, the Sukkos, Chalamot Sukkos, the year after Muhammad Yom HaKippurim, he invited all of the boys who were in the army and the Hezder that they should come to the yeshiva in Shalavim and write down all the shailas that came up during the war. Some of the shailas were, sometimes in a cave on Rosh Hashanah, can have the people, 5 people in the cave, 5 people out of the cave, how they might start into a minyan. 5 people on one side of the Suez Canal, 5 people on the other side of the Suez Canal, that they might start into a minyan. Can you blow shofar in the cave, out of the cave? Who's the Yotze? So, and they discussed all the shalas. He said it turned out, on Chol HaMoed Sukkos the year after, it turned out 85% of all the shalas that they had were black and white in the Mishnah Brura. except that we usually skim over a thing. We think it's never going to happen. So we skip that line in the Mishnah, but he said 85% of the Shilohs were Beferish. And the other 15% were not Beferish, but they weren't so earth-shattering Shilohs. They weren't new Shilohs. They weren't so difficult. All the Shilohs they came up are not so difficult. Yeah.
Hi, Rebbe. Over the course of the pandemic, the guidance we've been receiving from Rebbe and other Rosh Yeshiva BYU has been consistently to be extremely cautious. There have been other Rabbanim and Gadol, who we normally look to for Pesach Halacha, who have been advocating against the government instruction and the health guidelines. How does Rebbe view this other side?
The bigger tzaddikim than Rebbe Kivega. Okay. I side with Rebbe Kivega. The Mishnah Berurah says, when there's a cholera epidemic, you have to go with a mask. It's a Mishnah Berurah in Hilchas Tisha B'Av. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes it from the Binyan Olam, who lived 100 years before him. That was always the tradition. The Chachamim and the Gemara always followed the latest, whatever was on the cutting edge of medicine. That's what they followed. We look back today at the Gemara, we laugh at all the medicine in the days of Gemara. That's the way medicine was. That's the way medicine always developed. At the beginning of this pandemic, unfortunately, they were killing many people in hospitals because they didn't know how to deal with them. Now they know much better how to deal with it, but that's the way all the medicine developed. So that we look back in the Gemara and we laugh at the medicine in the days of Gemara, but that was the latest Chiddush in medicine in the days of the Gemara. They followed, just like they followed the doctors of their generation, we have to follow the doctors of our generation. And Chasam Sofer has a tshuva about a certain Rambam. He says the Rambam was a doctor, and he knew that based on the medicine of his generation, what it says in the Gemara about medicine is not correct. So that's why the Rambam left out a certain Gemara. Because the Rambam knows you have to follow whatever is the latest in medicine. You have to follow the doctors of your generation.
Hi, Rebbe. If it's okay to ask, I want to ask if Rebbe has had any regrets in his life. And through those regrets, what Rebbe's learned from them, and how to either deal with them or to come over them.
Regrets. Pretty happily married, over 50 years. People were trying to pressure me, I should go learn in Lakewood. I think if I would have learned in Lakewood, I would not have been as successful as I was learning by Rabbi Soloveitchik. Then if I would have gone, there was a question, I should go learn by Rabbi Beryl Soloveitchik in Eretz Yisrael. So quite a few Rabbanim who knew me recommended I should not go learn by him. They thought I would not enjoy it. They said Rabbi Beryl Soloveitchik was an expert on his father's Torah, but I like to look in other Svarim also. So they said that they don't think I would appreciate it. The end was that I was going to go learn by Rabbi Beryl Soloveitchik. Then I met my wife and I got married, so I never went. I don't have a regret. I was pretty successful. I don't have any regrets. So far, everything was good. I regret that I do averus from time to time, okay? I regret that I don't, you have to be decent, ben odom l'chaveras. I'm not always as respectful for other people as I should be. Okay, I regret I have charata when I do averus, I have charata, okay? But about life's decisions, I don't have any regrets, I don't think.
Hi, Rebbe. How does Rebbe view secular subjects in terms of, is it bitozman? Are you allowed to try to go to a high level to learn, even though it might take away from your Torah? And is there inherent value in learning sciences?
I remember someone asked that to Rav Soloveitchik once. Should we study secular studies as rakachas v'tabachas of Torah, or should we study it for its own sake? So Rav Soloveitchik said, you're all going to college, what's the difference? He didn't see that it makes any difference. I don't know. He was Rabbi Soloveitchik. He was always very curious. He always wanted to know everything about everything. So he would always read up on the latest scientific discoveries and everything. He always, everything by him at the same Bari Olam The same Rabban Shalom who created the world gave us the Torah, so everything is interconnected. So he would always find something in science that would explain something in halacha, something in Torah. Yeah. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is only on learning Torah. There's no mitzvah to study secular studies. The Ramah says you're permitted to study a little bit. For men, it's a little Torah. A man who has time on his hands should learn Torah. If he gets boring, so learn a different Masechta. Learn Bima B'Sedra, learn Tilim, learn Tanakh, learn Midrash, learn Yankev, learn something else. You need variety. Variety is the spice of life, but there's so much variety within learning. You can learn a few different Masechtas in the same day. Rabbi Soloveitchik recommended that the Kohel shouldn't learn the same Masechta all day and all night, the same thing. It's going to grate on your nerves. He said you have to have variety. Everybody knows you have to have variety. But there's variety within learning. You can learn different things and you'll have, you won't get bored.
Okay, we had someone who asked to ask anonymously. So I'm going to ask the question. What is Rebbe's opinion on Bachrim staying in Eretz Yisrael versus going back to YU? Which would Rebbe recommend?
Should they stay in Eretz Yisrael permanently, you mean? They should live in Eretz Yisrael. We all have a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. If you can make a living, yeah. If everything else, if it's bo b'cheshbon, if by living in Eretz Yisrael means you won't be able to get married, so then that's not normal. Or by living in Eretz Yisrael, you don't enjoy the learning in the yeshiva, and you would really enjoy learning better in Chutz L'Aretz. Then the Gemara says, "Lil matar v'lisa yisha," you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. There are 1,001, there are 5,000 yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. No, add on them lo made the b'makom sheli b'chafetz ki mitaros Hashem cheftzai. Pasuk says in the first parak in Tehillim. So if a person can live in Eretz Yisrael and lead a normal life, he'll be able to get a shidduch, he'll be able to learn Torah, he'll be able to make a parnasa. So then there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael.
Does the Rosh Yeshiva think it's a good idea to go to the army if you're planning on going back to YU or Chutz L'Aretz afterwards?
I don't know. My impression is that there's so many years ago, they needed every single person for the army. My brother-in-law was before Bar Mitzvah, and he was involved in Mohammed HaShichrur. Everybody, they need every able-bodied person to help out in the war effort in 1948. But now they have so many people in Eretz Yisrael, have so many Russian Olim. My impression is that they don't really need more people in the army. They have enough. They have enough soldiers.
Okay, we had another question someone sent in. If one is at a minyan and they aren't following the rules that the government has set out, is one mechuyav to leave the minyan or is one allowed to stay?
It's a good idea to leave if there's a suffix sakana, so you can leave. I mean, there won't be a minyan without you. Tough luck. Okay. You're not mechuyav to put yourself in sakana in order to help them make a minyan. You're not mechuyav to put yourself in sakana to daven tefillah b'tzibur. If there's a suffix, if the person has a suffix sakana, a sex fake of a suffix sakana, so you have to go to chumrah. I would leave.
Rebbe, specifically the protests that have been going on in the Tri-State area, what is Rebbe's view on that and how should we approach that and view that?
I think the people are not the normal. I think they're mishugayim. They don't have it. They don't realize how much anti-Semitism this is stirring up. There's a lot of anti-Semitism that as it is all over the world. There's always anti-Semitism. There's always anti-Semitism. When they started making organ transplants years ago, so the doctors came to the realization that there's a principle of rejection. The body has a tendency to reject foreign matter. It's interesting, the Ravid in his commentary, the Ravid wrote a sefer, the Ravid that we know, the Ravid Bal HaSogas wrote a sefer Balei HaNefesh that has all the laws of Taras HaMishpach and Hilchas Mikvoz there. So in the Hagdama to the Balei HaNefesh, he writes about the institution of marriage. He writes very interestingly. The Pasuk says in Chumash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam alone, lo tov hayos al Adam labada es ala isa kenegdo. Baruch Shalom says he has to find the shidduch for Adam HaRishon. So it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all the animals and he brings all the animals to Adam HaRishon. Well, the Adam Lamatza Ezek and Adam Rishon is giving names to all the animals. Well, Adam Lamatza Ezek and Egdo. So John Milton wrote a book, Paradise Lost. So he's bothered with Akasha. What was the Rebbeinu Shlomo's Havamina? That Adam Rishon is going to fall in love with a goose? Is going to fall in love with a hippopotamus? Or with a donkey? Or with a horse? What was the Havamina? He creates all the animals, Adam, and he tells Adam Rishon, give a name. Adam Lamatzah is a kenegdo. So then Rabban Shalom said, okay, you don't want to marry any of these. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to take Achas Nitzalos. So they write it. So the John Milton asked that question. He says, Rabban Shalom was kidding with Adam Rishon. So the Ravid doesn't give that answer. The Ravid gives the following answer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to show you that by all of the animals I created, Zohar and Akeva, each one independently. I didn't make the Nikeva from the Zohar, but by human beings, I want that there should be an institution of marriage, that the two should blend in and to be together. They shouldn't just be together to have lotus and then they'll separate, or they're going to get divorced. He wants that they should blend in. But there's a principle of rejection. The body has a tendency to reject any foreign matter. So how can the Zohar and Nikeva blend in together? Each person is a foreign matter to the other one. So that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to create Chava from the Adam. I'm going to take Achas Mitzaloisov. So he shows him all the animals and he says, did you find a female human being? No, because that's the reason why, because I want to have an institution. I'm going to create the female from the male. So that's really the truth of the matter of the Pashta. That's why there's so much anti-Semitism in the world, because the Gemara says that Klal Yisrael really shouldn't exist. It's Michutz Legidri HaTeva. The Psukim say in Chumash that Sora was an Akara, and Rivka was an Akara, and Rachel was an Akara, and the Gemara has a tradition, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yankov were also Akarim. Everybody was an Ok of Akara, so B'derech HaTeva, none of us should have been born. So the whole Klal Yisrael is Michutz Legidri HaTeva, it's Lemaila Men HaTeva, so we don't really fit in with the rest of Klal Yisrael. So that's why there's so much anti-Semitism. These demonstrations are just causing more anti-Semitism in a very extreme fashion. And the Nochma think that we are a bunch of idiots, a bunch of lunatics, the senators. They're asking the Rabbanim, what's going on in Lakewood? What's going on over here? These were normal people. When did they become such lunatics? It's not to be understood. The Jews alone Torah are supposed to be ki chachmaschem v'vinaschem le'enei ha'amim. The Goyim are supposed to have respect for the Jews because of the fact that we learned Torah. They lost all the respect for the Jews, and they fight with the police, physically fighting, and they have them on video as saying, we don't follow your laws, we have our own laws. What are you, crazy? We don't have our own laws. We follow whatever the doctors recommend. All the Tanoim follow, all the Rishonim, all the Tzaddikim, and all the generations. They follow whatever the doctors of your generation recommend. It's a terrible Chilul Hashem. Terrible, terrible Chilul Hashem.
What's the best practical plan to work on one's midos?
You have to read Musa Svarim. Silas Sharma is a beautiful sefer. He writes in the introduction. You can't just read it once. If you read it once, he doesn't think you'll find any new ideas that you never heard of before. You have to review the sefer a few times. A quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon, he enjoyed the Mesillas Yesharim so much, he said if the author would still be alive, he would be prepared to walk by foot to Italy in order to learn by him. But the Ramchal had already passed away. Mesillas Yesharim is a very beautiful style sefer. Quotes all of Ma'amar Chazal, and he puts everything in his system in order, and he quotes Pesukim from Tanakh. It's fantastic. He was a fantastic writer. You people have to have a Hakora Sataif to your parents that they sent you to Eretz Yisrael. It's going to, when later in life you look back on this year in Eretz Yisrael, you'll see how much you gained. it's unfortunate that we're suffering now from this world epidemic, but the year in Eretz Yisrael will be very significant in your lives. You'll look back and you'll see it'll be extremely significant in your life. But you have an opportunity to learn by big Talmid HaChomim there, different Rabbeim in the yeshiva, and they're even out of the yeshiva. Try to gain as much as possible. I remember once a professor was telling me that usually people want more for their money, except in education. When this was a professor of mathematics. So he said, in education, the students want to know, the teachers should teach them less, so there'll be less on the final. He would have thought that you want more for your money, you want to have more, you want to have the professor should teach you more for your money, so everybody wants less. You should try to grab as much as you can while you're in Eretz Yisrael. You have the Rebbe in the yeshiva, then you have other Rabbeim in the yeshiva. Each Rebbe has something else. You should pick up as much as possible from all the Rabbeim. Then there are other Talmid HaChamim in Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael. Pick up as much as possible from everybody.
Rebbe, had one, because Din D'Malchus Adina, had one lived around the time of the American Revolution, would we have, as Jews, been able to support the revolution, or we would have been, you know, loyal to the king, to England?
I don't know. You have to know all the details of history. Was it a proper revolution or not? If the king is a Russia, and he's not treating the citizens properly, then you have a right to rebel.
Hi, Rebbe. Small question. In Parshat Avramos, when the Torah is discussing the Gioraios, one thing I never was able to understand was that towards the end of Gioraios, but still in the middle of the list, the Torah mentioned about the Isser, the Lotase of Molech. How it shouldn't, Molech.
Molech.
Right. I was wondering if Rebbe could explain what Molech's, connection to Gioraios, or what's it doing in the middle of those Pesukim.
I don't know. It's a very good question. We're missing a lot of history. Yeah, Mistama, there must be a very good historical explanation. Gidei Arayos was always part of Avodah Zarah throughout all the generations. So maybe there was Gidei Arayos involved in Molech as well. I don't know. I don't remember that the Gemara discusses it. I don't know. Very good question.
Thank you, Rebbe.
Yeah, I don't think we have any more questions. So I just want to sum up by thanking Rav Schechter for speaking to us, for sharing so much Torah with us. It was a huge schus. It's a huge schus every time we get to share Torah, especially in a time like this. And we hope that we're able to be reunited in person very soon, with Hashem.
Very good. Amen. Everyone should have a successful year in Eretz Yisrael. We should all be healthy. The next Sukkot we should have really is Man Simcha Seinu. More of a Simcha. Okay. Have Atzlocha. Okay.
Hi, Rabbitson, Yosef Siegel. I used to bring my son Shmuel is in HaKotel. I used to bring strawberries to you for Rosh Hashanah and for the Yom Tovim.
I'm telling you, we're going hungry since then. My fruit
platters. Many years that my father.
my fruit platters have not looked the same ever since.
What did he say? What did he mention about?
What did you say, your father?
No, it's been many years since he's been in the fruit business, but
Yes.
But
Nelemi has to go back into it.
Thank you so much for spending, for giving the time and everything. My son is learning so well in Hakota. He's loving it. And thank you for giving your time to the boys there.
But there's nothing, Shiva. This is still Hakota.
I know.
Yes, it's still Hakota. But the parents were given a link to join in the in the shiur.
So how many parents joined in?
To give my shiur.
Okay.
There were a lot of parents.
Okay, good. They should all